Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. HSV didn't miss anything when they re-engineered the Chevrolet Silverado for Australian roads. Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
It sure is, big fella. Welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hi, guys.
All in attendance. Here. Well done.
Present.
Good stuff. Great show.
Yeah, great show ahead.
Your secret crush, Dr. Chris Brown.
It's no secret crush. You've made it very clear that I admire Chris.
We love having the doc
we
on the program.
We love having Doc on. We've got lots of stories saved up for him. A huge one, in fact.
There's one that's very disturbing to you. It's kind of amusing to me.
Yeah, I know.
But
all right, we'll get to
you'll
the
go the blub
that.
In this, won't you?
I will.
Are you a chance?
Very possibly.
All right.
I'm always up for a blub.
We'll be up for that in the big second hour. Before we get to then, though, other stories we need to flag that'll be happening on today's show. Mm. Backpackers, Australian backpackers, annoying. Well, apparently, when they're overseas.
There's a list of issues that people have with Australian backpackers. We're going to go through.
Yeah. Valet to the Tarago. The Tarago.
That's huge. That's the end of an era.
No more.
You used to go in
on tours. We'll discuss that a little. I'm sure we've all had the odd run-in with a Tarago over the journey. That'll be fun.
Now they've invented a new swimsuit for the gents.
For the gents.
So when you're at the beach and you see a pair of boobies and whatever, something happens, doing, it helps that not be affected visually.
Well, it sounds intriguing. Yeah. I'll have to stand around.
Just
around
to say it nicely.
Has the Queen gone down to her local supermarket?
She's gone to Sainsbury's and she's checking out a self-serve.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that. We'll talk about chefs and we've told you how tough that business is.
It's diabolical.
Well, there's a new plan afoot to help chefs, and I'm all on board.
Me too, but we'll tell you about it.
I'm all in on it. We'll have a little look at, there's a train guard who's been making pornos. We might get on to that.
What train guard doesn't?
Someone got fat shamed at Qantas.
Wow, that's,
who didn't work there.
Okay.
That'd be the first. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets.
It's
so much
day.
More to
it's
get
very busy.
Through. I love it when there's plenty on the agenda.
Me too.
I had a great night last night.
What'd you do? Did you go out?
I watched episode 3 of season 1.
Come on, stop now.
Of
that's
Game of
stupid.
Thrones. Wow.
Now, you have seen the last episode and the first three episodes.
The first three now. But, gee, it was good. So a couple of things happened. Joffrey was given a lesson by Cersei about ruling. He seems like a good kid.
Joffrey?
You think that'll end well?
Well, I think he'd be a fair and just ruler.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I just get that feeling.
Yeah, he's such a delight.
Hey, Jon Snow still training up there on the wall. Who knew the wall was there? How big's the wall?
You clown.
How big is it?
Oh, is it?
It's huge.
Right.
It's a very big
wall. It would have taken a while to build.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah,
so he's up to no... There's something going on up there. I don't know what's happening.
At the wall.
Are they
like a creepy cult?
What are they trying to keep out? Why do they have the wall?
Oh, there's something going on the other side of the wall, which I don't like.
Mexicans.
It's all happening in the Dothraki Sea. And Daenerys, I think, just learned she's pregnant. So
that'll
be interesting to see how
her babies look so cute.
Will that be...
I wonder what her children are like.
What are you watching? Well, because you watch everything. If you were to binge on anything right now, what would it be?
Watching Barry on Foxtel. That's excellent. Excellent. I've done that. Dead to Me was on Netflix.
That's a good one.
I like that.
What's that?
Don't look so snippy when
Christina
you say
Applegate's
that.
In that, isn't she?
Yes.
She's really good.
Why don't you just don't put your nose up there?
Oh, sorry.
Good.
The biggest, the best. that was a substantial review.
Bill Collins over here.
And the one I love. The one I really love.
Do you have a TV in the bedroom, Dave?
You don't use that one. We just use the iPads in the bedroom.
So what, you got separate shows? Honestly.
Yeah, we do.
What, are you on Pornhub?
No, I'm
We'll get to Pornhub in shortly.
Not everybody is.
What are you watching?
Killing Eve. I'm trying to tell as many people about
this. Chick flicky.
It's not chick flick. Mm. You can watch it on iView and ABC, series 1 and 2. There's a bit of lesbo action in it.
It's Sandra Oh in that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, you might like that.
You had me at lesbo.
With disrespect to all my lesbian friends.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
They see the first one. They've got a sense of humour too.
I know they have.
Exclusive.
I know they have.
All right. Hey, so anyway, so that's spoiler alert. If you see me, don't mention to
Please
me.
Please give it up.
Do not mention to me what is on episode 4.
That's ridiculous. We've told you
don't
that all bets are off now.
Jane, don't do it.
So you're only up to episode 3 of the first series.
I've seen episode 3.
How's Ned Stark going?
I think it'll be a good.
You've seen good things.
King's
for him?
Hand.
Yeah,
I think it'll be good.
As time goes on, he'll have a big role to play in the entire series. Dave has no idea what I'm saying because he hasn't seen it.
He's a good dad.
Is he Starkey?
Oh, you should come round and watch him.
Can
maybe I should come round and get onto the temper.
That's
so
true.
We could watch him.
Plenty of room for you.
Jump in. Watch your iPad and you watch yours. Yeah,
all right. Exactly. Well done. Hey, when we come back, we might have a look at. What's going on in the world of restaurants?
Yes. And the Queen,
people,
so
and,
what she's
all
doing.
All right, done. A bit of a foodie
bit of both. All right, food.
Thanks to the HSV and the Chevrolet Silverado, which does everything big, very big.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, everybody. This is Brandon Flowers, and you're listening to Dangerous Dave.
Oh, I don't know how that got in there, but that was the killers.
Yeah. You are shameless.
What a name dropper. Who else have you done that to us with?
I can't remember. I might have been Ed Sheeran last week.
Ed Sheeran, John Bon Jovi.
You know, when the stars come in, they go, where is he? Here he is, Dangerous
Dave. Are you doing something with Barnsley?
I am, yeah. We're doing a music special on his brand new album, which comes out next week, My Criminal Record. So I go one-on-one for an hour with Barnsley.
That was good having him in yesterday.
It seemed like 3 hours. What are you going to ask him? Give me an example of what you might ask him.
All right, we'll ask Jim. Look, you collaborate a lot.
Jim, is it?
Yeah, well, you got to be personal with it. I believe Don Walker from Cold Chisel helped you out with this album.
Well, of course he would. That's a dumb question.
Well, I had to
because I thought it'd be someone. It's got to be someone interesting than not someone from his old band.
What
Come
about
on.
This, Jim? How does it feel? This is your 17th studio album.
Boring.
All right, I have to rework those questions. Oh, I'm starting to struggle now.
Do you perm your hair?
You want me to ask him that one?
Do you wear real leather?
Are the tin lids still available?
Are you vegan?
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Where's Swanee? Ask him about Swanee.
Oh,
I want to find out.
His brother?
Yeah.
Yeah? He's a fantastic musician, by the
Absolutely.
Way, Swanee.
One of the giant. Yeah. Hey, giant. All right.
Now, we were talking about food off air, and we were talking about going to restaurants. And we're talking about Jamie Oliver has gone bust his restaurant train. He's gone into liquidation. He had about 22 of them, which is ridiculous. Most people, though, who have one fancy restaurant now all around the world, if you want to make a booking now, they are asking for your credit card as collateral because if you don't turn up, they're going to charge you what would cost the average price of a meal there because they're going afford it when people don't turn up.
I'm all for this because, to me, if when you make a restaurant booking, you're making a contract with someone.
That's right.
So, say they've got 80 seats in their restaurant and you book 10 and then don't turn up, you're costing them an incredible
amount of being money. Flipping bad manners.
And we know how their margins are fairly thin. We know how hard they all work in this business and how we're often reading about how they're not, it's hard to pay them properly or... as you said, Jamie Oliver, if Jamie Oliver goes under, this is a tough business. Mm. So I'm all for the idea that if you don't front, you pay.
Yes.
So how do you do it? You should give me credit
card. Well, what happens is when you make a booking, most bookings now, you don't have to ring restaurants, thank God. You can do it online now. You know how painful it is ringing up, making a booking?
Oh, no, I still ring the restaurants.
Mate, you still use a checkbook and
old school. You
have cash. So you're a bit old school.
Mm. Oh, dear. Well, it's old school, is it, to ring up a restaurant and book a table?
Yes.
That is not how it's done.
No. You go online and you get the exact time you want, the number of people, they confirm it for you.
Oh, wow.
And they confirm your booking the day before, either text or email. Mm. But if you are doing a very
Why are you even going
restaurant,
there? Why don't you just get online and order the food and eat it at home on your own so you don't have to talk to anyone, Jane?
Some people know how to use
What's
a computer,
What's wrong with them, with the art of just meeting... And talking to people.
Because you're so chatty to someone on the other end of a phone. You go, let's talk for hours. I mean, just booking. Who cares? Get online. It's efficient. And then you get reminded about it.
Good Lord.
Don't be grumpy about that.
Puts a note in your calendar as well on your phone.
It does.
So you know when the booking is.
It all comes
and
up.
Pops up.
But now it says if you want to proceed.
Oh, what? In case I forget I'm eating tonight.
Yes, because you can forget.
Yeah. What time did I have? Yeah, 6:30.
Before you proceed with the booking, it asks for your credit card. And it says, and it's sort of a contract, and you've got to tick a box to say, giving, do you
I'm
agree
not
to
give,
this?
I'll pay for something online.
Well, you're just going
you
to have to. You're going to have to.
Well, some most sites are secure.
No. So you, cash only.
Well, you're never going to go out again.
So anyway, so what do? So you know, you pay in advance.
You put a retainer down, and they say you're doing this on the proviso that we have an expectation of how much you're going to spend on a night when you go out. So we're going to charge per person $250 if you're going to a real fancy Michelin starry kind of restaurant. Let's just say without
in
the
Paris,
grog.
For example.
No, in Sydney.
Hey.
In Sydney.
All right.
Say they might charge people $250. It might cost them. That's for food only. There's some pretty flash restaurants out there.
Mm.
Plus one.
Where are you eating?
Oh, I'm not eating there. I'm just, I do my research.
Yeah.
So they will take, they will charge you.
Incorporates the phrase, all you can eat.
If you do the runner, you'll get charged. And
okay,
I think that's fair.
Do you know what? But I do this. If I book for six people and it's only going to be four, I ring in advance and say, I'm really sorry.
Well, you have
My six is now a four. And then when I get there, I make sure I order a more expensive bottle of wine.
But you have
any
lovely manners, Mick Malloy. Yeah.
Well,
and you thank
that's
your mother.
Said. Hmm.
Thank your mother for that.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
That's not nice.
That reminds me, I need to take her out for the last Mother's
like
Day dinner I promised her.
Speaking of old ducks, with respect to your beautiful mum, the Queen has gone out and about. She's incredible. She's 93, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she just stay at home? No, Sainsbury's, which is a supermarket brand,
a big
turned 150, and she's gone and checked it out, and they've gone to one of those self-serve checkouts, and she's fascinated by it. And she can't believe what she's seeing, that you use your phone to scan the whole thing and pay for everything.
And did she use it?
Well, let's have a look. It's a bit hard to hear, but I'll say what she said afterwards.
So they can walk around the store using the camera on their phone to scan barcodes and then using the payment information that's already stored on their phone to complete the transaction.
You can't use it, then it's cheap.
Well, you always can cheat.
So she says, I'm just wondering, I have one question. Can one cheat? I mean, you can't trick it. You can't cheat then, can you? And he says, I'm sure they do. Everybody wants to hurry. And she goes, good heavens. And how long have you been
working?
Are
you
working?
Making this up? Or are you, what are you, love this. Some kind of stream of consciousness?
I love this. Keep going. Keep going.
I'm making it
fascinating.
Check if the Queen's ever booked a table or not turned
up. Well, Michael, that's a very interesting question that one has proposed to me. It's an interesting tool, she said. Not about you. She didn't call you a tool. She called the contraption at the supermarket.
Has Her Majesty ever been to a supermarket before?
I don't think she has. No, why would she? Well, she's got everyone. What about you?
She could use one of those.
What? What do you mean?
I've never used one of those.
You don't use the self-set?
You know that. I go to the counter.
Of course, that's
again,
right.
Jane, I ring the restaurant. If I get the groceries, I go to the checkout. Hello, how are you today?
No,
you
that's not at all.
Thank you for having me.
That is not what you've said to me.
You just go straight to your dirty, stinking computer counter.
No,
beep.
You
beep.
Said you had a fight with one of the women who wouldn't give you some toys for your children.
This conversation's over. Hey, people, give us a call if you've had any experience with this, or you're a chef or you're a small business owner and you're sick of
people
doing
the runner
on you. 133353.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We're talking about this new idea that you should pay a down payment on your table in a restaurant. So if you don't show up, which is bloody rude,
you lose it.
Yep. Obviously, if you ring the day before and they have a chance
of
to
course.
Off the table.
But that's all in the contract. It's all written down when you make a booking.
If you just don't turn up, you've cost them a lot of money.
There
are other businesses like hairdressing salons.
Yes.
Doctors.
And
specialists.
Yep.
I don't think they can afford it, can they?
No, it shouldn't be means tested. It should be fair for all. It's like one.
But if you're providing a service and you've only got so many bookings
and
per day,
to
and you don't turn.
Well, it can send people.
You're
broke.
A bit of a bum. Mm.
It is.
Terrible. We put it out there. Jordan's on the line. Jordan, are you an owner or a chef? Or what are you?
Yeah, I'm an owner and a chef of Venus and Co in Albert Park.
Oh, okay. And how do you go? Is this an issue for you?
Massive issue. It's. I don't know if many people know this, but most booking sites, every time that someone books, it costs us $3 or $4.
Oh, really? In the first place?
So this is the online booking.
Yes, people will book online, but then they will cancel over the phone.
But we always go to your restaurant website and then are directed to go to, you know, the Fork or whatever they're called, the booking site. Mm. Why can't you take online bookings yourself?
We just can't do it. We need those platforms to get the online booking done.
Right.
It's just, and then people call up and then they cancel. So we're still getting charged of $3 or $4 because they're having cancelled online.
Okay, so it's like a double whammy.
Yeah, exactly. So even if people don't rock up, we're still paying the $3 or $4.
How many seats in your restaurant, basically?
About 80 or 90.
So 80 or 90. So you get a couple of cancellations a night. That's affecting your bottom line, right?
Yeah, well, we're a small business, and at the end of the year, it all adds up. It doesn't sound like much, $3 or $4, but at the end of the year, it does add
up. Of course it does.
All right, well done, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan, for filling us in.
Jordan, book me a table for 10 on the weekend. I have a 50-50 chance.
Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night, 7:30.
Thanks, mate. Steve's on the line. Steve, online or give him a call? What say you?
No, mate, I'm like you, Mick. You've got to give him up. Got to give him a call.
I believe so.
You give them a call, you act nice, you talk nice, and you end up might get some free stuff out of it. Get a free drink, free garlic bread.
That's right. And you might give her some particulars. By the way, it's an anniversary. Mm. By the way, my girlfriend's had a bad time. Could you
bring over now.
Champagne
ridiculous.
And surprise us with the first, you know what I mean? Because it's personal and it's old school.
I'm personal enough. What's where you have an issue with at the moment, Trev?
That's Steve.
Oh, sorry, Steve.
So you just don't care about people. You can't even talk to them on the phone. Maybe it's best you don't ring a restaurant.
I do. Sorry,
100%. Yeah, you've got to ring every time you want.
All right, Steve.
Hey, nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's easier to drop your name, too.
Sorry about that, Steve.
Hey, Steve, well done. Trev?
This is Trev.
Okay. Trev. I just wanted to say I'm much like you, Mick. Mm-hmm. I believe in paying in person. You go to the checkouts.
Yep.
You support the jobs.
It's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to the service industry. And to me, it's important that you present
yourself. Look like you're a year 9 debater when you're telling me this, Mick. Just calm the farm.
All right, Trev, have you had a bad experience at a restaurant lately?
Well, it's just the Maccas. It's just the Maccas in general. It's not really a restaurant per se, even though it is.
No, it is. What happened?
Much like Coles and Woolies and stuff, they're getting rid of the checkouts. They're forcing you to go to automated services up here in Brisbane.
I've seen this as the screen. So you go in. It's what they do in Coles where they keep one checkout open and all the self-serve ones
open. Yes, but they still give you a choice, Trev, and you can do that.
No. They literally will not take your order now, and they literally tell you, go to the kiosk.
Oh, well, it is 2019, Trev. Let's move with the times.
Yeah. I like to,
You can download an app for Maccas now and order it online and then walk into the restaurant and there it is, ready to go.
I'd like to still like to sit there and peruse the pictures.
Do you?
Behind the counter.
Oh, yeah.
You can see them on the screen.
Quarter pounder.
Oh, whatever,
why don't you just get Uber Eats, get it delivered to your house?
Why don't you go? You know what? You'll be living in a pod on your own where you don't have to interact with anyone.
I won't be on my own.
I want to be
with all my girlfriends.
Why do you hate people?
I don't hate people. I like lots of people. I hate some people. No, actually, I hate a lot of people.
Any of them in this room?
It's starting to bug me a lot.
I've got time for one more.
Yeah, Shackers.
Yes.
What happened, mate? What's your story?
Oh, g'day, guys. Hey, listen, back in the 70s, I moved over to the UK, and I was a French-trained chef. And the guy I worked for, his name was Alfred Cullen of Chadwick. Very eccentric fellow.
Yes.
He looked like Colonel Sanders, but he had an attitude like Basil Fawlty.
All right.
Yeah, amazing guy.
What a guy.
So we were fully booked to lunch and dinner all the time, and all the guides and what have you. So if you didn't turn up for your meal, he'd give you a ring.
Okay. At
3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Because he's got your details.
He's got the numbers.
Can we hear? Are you coming for your meal? We've got the chef waiting, the waitress staff are waiting.
That's brilliant.
Wow.
That's the way to handle it, mate.
Give Shackers a prize, Dave.
Yeah, prize pack coming your way, Shackers.
All right, we awesome. Like it. Well
calling
done,
us
guys.
From Hobart as well. Guys. Good on you, mate. Thanks
Turn
for listening.
Turn up, idiots.
Mate. Yeah, that's it.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Can we get down to tin tacks? This is, I'm speaking to all the lads out there. Some of you may or may not be aware there is a website called Pornhub. basically online porn.
Never heard of it.
I believe. He's, you know.
Well, it's an actual adult entertainment website.
Well, that's a polite way of putting it.
Yes.
Yeah, you go there to get your porn fix. Anyway, Pornhub have unveiled a boneless bathing suit. I don't know why they're getting into retail, to prevent unwanted public erections. So they've got a picture of the bathing.
Unfortunately, they got a picture
of the bathing suit for guys. They come complete with special built-in lining made from 100% Lycra. I would have thought that would be the enemy of the boner.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have thought Lycra.
It needs to be metal.
Which is... It's right, like a knight's outfit.
No,
like,
you know, that's what I was thinking.
Well, like you're about to go jousting. That would be the preferred way, not Lycra. So the Lycra, 100% Lycra, which is designed to hold down your member without strangling it or making it uncomfortable. Whey. So you're walking down the beach. Oh, hello. Hotties at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Doing. Sorry. I was going to do my own sound effect, but yours is better.
Now you're...
Is it embarrassing when that happens?
Obviously, you've never encountered it. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's happened when people have seen me on the beach, sure. But I'm just saying.
Look, you don't want to be pitching a tent in your Speedos.
No.
That's not a good look.
No.
And it's not like you can roll over.
No. Nowhere to hide there.
It's pretty embarrassing.
Especially if you happen to be jogging down the beach at the time and you're filleting yourself.
See, we've got no equivalent.
Hey, now, here's an idea.
Oh, man, hey, Mum, what about headlights? Maybe they come
the up. The headlights? And weather-related. It can be weather-related, too.
Can be. So, nippy weather.
So here's my advice. Instead of restricting the male anatomy, what about just making swimsuits for women that aren't attractive? What about going back to the old knickerbockers?
Oh, yeah?
Neck to knees.
Knickerbockers and bloomers. Bloomers.
Oh. Yeah, that was a good look, wasn't it?
Maybe cover up, girls, so we don't have to go to all this trouble.
Why don't we all go and move and live in Saudi Arabia? Then it'll be best for everyone. Because that's how the women dress.
Well, where we are, this is, you know, maybe burkas.
Yep.
Burkas, a beach burka, everybody. Yeah. And that way we can maintain the rage.
Nigella Lawson wears a beach burka.
Does she?
Yeah. She wore one in Bondi Beach. She wanted to protect her fair, maiden English skin. It's my second English accent.
The most juvenile show, Dave.
My apologies. Let's move on to something more interesting and not on the same.
Oh, can I talk to you about
train guard fired.
What is it?
Train guard fired after allegedly making adult film in carriages after hours.
Oh, man.
Now, this
is a way to get people back to
public transport. Now, I used to work at Channel 10 long, long time ago, and I'm not saying that it still happens there, but I used to work on a show. It was my first job in television. And let me just say there was dubious things being made on a Sunday morning when I was editing the show I was on.
Oh. It would have been Healthy, Wealthy and Wise.
No.
Curiosity
Show.
It was
not going to say what show it was.
A very early reality
TV
show.
You're guessing the wrong shows. You don't even know their names. No. In a studio next door in the editing suite, there may have been somebody editing porn movies.
Oh, no kidding.
On a Sunday morning.
Wow.
Mm.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sure they weren't just filming Aerobics All Style.
It wasn't a rotten episode
just
of Neighbours.
Aerobic All Style. I would have needed the Pornhub Speedos.
They would have come in handy then.
To watch that. Really?
Well,
So on public transport now, the people after late at night, there's a train guard who's making pornos.
Well, the woman. It's a woman. She's been named by German media as Teresa W. I'm not going to do a German accent, don't worry. She's defended the videos in which she appears wearing her railway uniform. And she said...
Could you do the accent?
I insist the videos were a private affair.
Yep, no need for the speed. No need for the put on speeders when you hear the sexy German accent. A private affair on public transport. Man, I can't look people in the eye on public transport.
Well, she says in one film she poses as a dominatrix in her uniform and she punishes a male passenger who's dodged his fare. And this is how the lines go. She apparently says in the video, "So, my little friend, I've caught you. Now, I'll show you what to do with passengers who haven't paid their fares. Pull your trousers down. I want to see your naked beep."
Oh, mate. No, that's what they should
do. And she gets a whip out.
That's what they should do on the metro services in inner city Melbourne.
No, that's when you use public transport. You could be swayed.
I'll see you at home. Take the long way. Which line am I on tonight?
Jamaican.
All right, we get the idea.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
There's a story that's made the news. You'll see it on the news tonight.
Qantas have got themselves in trouble. Whether it's deserved or not, I don't know.
Well, I'll talk you through it. And Qantas do have a point. I think it's the way in which it was handled is the issue.
What's the story?
The story is a guy called Darren Beals. He's your larger man.
Yep.
He booked a seat in the exit row because he wanted extra leg room.
Sure.
He booked one seat, right? Mm. When you sit in the exit row...
It's a higher level of expectation.
It is, and you will recall and know when you go through the flight safety details that they focus on exit row people and sometimes say, in the event of emergency, you've got to help out, you agree to it or not.
You have to be able to help out, and it's
able-bodied
an exit row because
it,
everyone is going to have to go through that row... Mm.
That's right.
...to get off the plane in a disaster.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, because Darren is your larger man, he had an extender seatbelt as well with him.
Right.
Now, the rules are, and you probably don't see them when you're booking your ticket, when you book your extender belt, if you have one of those, you can't sit in an exit row because it means you're not able to do it. He didn't like the way he was spoken to. He felt belittled and embarrassed because...
He's upset that he got asked to move.
He was asked to move.
But he's not entitled to be there.
No, that's right. And he's upset that he got asked to move because he believes the tone of the voice of the flight attendant was belittling and saying something, next time, why don't you book two seats?
See, I'm all for PC.
Having a go at
it, fatty. I'm all for all the PC stuff. Yeah. But when it comes to your ability to save my life or block my exit row, I'm with Qantas on this one. Mm. A rule is a rule.
He's very upset.
And by the way, it's not a Qantas rule either.
No, it's an aviation
regulation that you need.
That's true.
I mean, look.
That's a CASA ruse.
I mean, he'll come in handy eventually because, I mean, obviously if a plane does go down, we're going to need someone to eat.
Yeah.
Hang on. He's very upset though. You want to hear him? He's not happy.
I was just seeing everyone around me, you know, like looking to find out what was going on, what was very, you know, nerve-wracking.
Qantas says the Civil Aviation Safety Authority provides guidance on the appropriate criteria for passengers seated in exit rows. It says anyone who needs an extension seatbelt isn't permitted to sit there.
And let's be honest, one of these planes is going to go down soon. Like, not saying Qantas, but there's, have a look around what's going on with Boeing and all the other stuff. Seriously, I do. When I get on a plane now, I look
around
the cabin
now?
Trying to work out who I'm going to eat.
Get your beady eyes off
look
me.
Look at the Boombo in 22A.
People might be saying
while we're going down this road, Qantas, here's one for you. When I'm watching a safety demonstration by an 85-year-old woman on the flight to LA, I often wonder how handy she's going to be in a case of a crisis. Ooh. I mean, let's be honest.
You are going to get calls from a lot of flight attendants.
Oh, come on.
How handy are you going to be when you've had 87 beers on a flight?
Yeah, but I'm not working there.
You've still got to get out of the plane somehow in some
orderly
fashion.
How are they going to shift you? Yeah. You're going to be stuck there forever. You're going down with the flight, mate. Yeah. Don't even worry. Don't worry your pretty little head about it.
How did this turn on me?
You had to go up the flight.
You're suddenly...
No, I'm so sane. But when you're getting a safety demonstration from a very old...
You said 85.
I'm putting it mildly. That's in airplane years.
Hey, you've got to get on a Qantas flight soon. Careful.
Yeah, and most of them are wonderful. But sometimes, does it ever occur to you?
No.
You go, how?
I don't even think about it.
If
a plane's going down, it's going down. Do you honestly think that if there's a plane crash, that a flight attendant's going to save your life? Is that seriously what you think?
Well, why am I putting my tray up? Because I told them to.
Well, you know what? You know why you have seatbelts on? Because when the plane crashes, they can find the bodies strapped in their seats.
Is that right?
Yes, it's easy to identify.
That's why I always move around.
Just to confuse your family who are grieving.
That's not him.
That's not my know, Mick.
Is there a weight limit for the chairman's lounge?
Okay.
That's the only thing that's going to affect me. I want in, by the way. Where's my invite to the chairman's lounge?
Listen, you've probably just slagged off the flight attendants.
No, no, I've stood up for Qantas, though, in this whole issue. Qantas are right to move the man who's in violation of aviation rules. Well, I'm sorry.
He didn't like the tone of voice that was used, I think. That's what he's saying. If you can do it a very nice way, and all those girls and men do
like
that very nicely.
Your tone of voice, to be honest. I feel like I've been chastised in this segment.
I'm exhausted.
All I've tried to do is be helpful.
I don't think so.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dr. Chris Brown coming up. We've got a full basket. We've got so many questions to ask
him. Questions about animals and animal behaviour.
And there's a big story that we need to discuss. It's an ethical story involving animals. We'll get to the bottom of. He's always good, Chris Brown.
Well, he seems to have worked on so many different types of animals. Every time we say, have you ever operated on an emu? Yes. A cassowary? Yes.
I'm going to ask him how many he's botched.
Oh,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Jenkins. I've got some bad news. Your hedgehog is dead.
I don't think he has.
Oh, he would have.
No, not my Chris.
Why, that's why he had to get out of Bondi. He's done something terrible in Bondi.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
Hey, we'll have him on. We're also going to talk about the demise of the Tarago, of course.
That's very sad.
And our reputation overseas as backpackers.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, a bit of feedback. So far on the show.
Feedback on the show.
Well, your English accent's copping a bit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's too many.
My Queen's accent.
I like that.
Yeah.
What does it say?
I'll tell you my favourite accent, which I kind of like, which is kind of works for me. Hell, BBC newsreader, female newsreader.
You're basically thinking of a librarian with her hair in a bun. She takes her glasses off and her hair down and shakes her hair.
Go on.
She's in a tight sort of silk blouse. Is that what you're thinking?
That's my favourite English accent. Can I just say that?
Can you do that?
Something.
I don't want to do it right now. I don't want to. Well, we might need those boner pants.
Boner. There's an ad for the boner. We've got the actual ad.
Yes.
This is the ad that runs on Pornhub.
Really?
For the male boner, hide a boner.
Hide a boner swimming trunks.
Here it is.
Wait, is that Pornhub's bathing suit with the bonerless technology that everyone's been talking about? Dude, you bet they are. I love them. Oh man, that's totally rad.
I love to see the lab, the laboratory, where all the scientists from Pornhub sit around developing the anti-boner technology.
What were they watching to...
Of course.
I really don't want to... Hey, we were talking about Swanee. We were talking about Swanee before.
Yes, we were. Well, I
shout out to Swanee living in Coffs.
Living in Coffs Harbour.
Yeah. What's our station again?
It's a Triple M Coffs Harbour. Moffy for breakfast up there.
Moffy, that's right.
Oh, Moffy.
He owns that town, Moffy.
He's the mayor of... Coffs Harbour.
Yep.
That's from Laurie Bryan. He's letting us know that Swanee may join Barnsley on the tour, they're saying.
Really?
When he plays Park Beach Reserve.
Had a big hit called If I Were a Carpenter.
Great voice.
Amazing
voice.
So this is all because we found out you're doing a 1-hour...
special with Jimmy, yeah.
That'll seem like about 3 hours.
Now you can talk about how Swanee's doing in Coffs Harbour.
What else?
Well,
what else are you going to...
You put me on the spot. I don't know. What should I ask?
What haven't you done your research?
Well, the questions I've said to you, you said, no, good, boring.
Oh, that's too vanilla.
How was your time at Holden when you worked at Holden for 4 days?
We already know that. We heard about that on this show. I don't want to go back over stuff.
Oh, sorry, mate. So what, are you going to not ask him anything he's ever been asked before? So this is your 17th studio album. Is somehow more insightful.
Who's the most intimidating musician you've ever come across?
I'm going to write that one down.
Who makes you nervous when you perform with them?
That's a really good question. I know he's done a Bruce Springsteen song on this new album.
Okay.
Do you know he supported Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
He went up with Bruce Springsteen. He played at Hanging Rock.
That's right.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I don't know. Stevie Van Zandt, who's part of the E Street Band, rode Ride the Night Away for Jimmy Barnes back in the... I could go down that angle, couldn't I?
All right. Good luck getting it out to an hour. You're going to struggle.
Anyway,
hey, a caller we didn't get to. We're talking about talking to checkout chicks. You know, you were saying that you like to use the staff.
Yes, I do. I like to...
Instead of the machines at a supermarket.
At a supermarket or when booking a restaurant, I like to talk to the staff. It's personal.
Well, Jenny from Bunyip says, why is Mick high and mighty about talking to checkout chicks but sits in the back of a taxi?
Oh, Jenny.
Yeah, precisely.
All right, firstly, I don't catch taxis. It's my driver.
Sorry,
your limo. My limo. And I sit in the back because it's my office.
Oh, you're like Fonzie.
Well, Dave's very happy with that one.
It's not bad.
Just laughed at his own joke. He's about to play us out. No, that's because I'm working and it's, you know, it's like when I get
working
on
at what? What are you working
it's my
on?
My mobile office.
What are you doing? You look at your Instagram of all your Brazilian models.
I'm ordering my Pornhub. Okay. Anti-boner.
Good God. All right.
But they're not all the way from Brazilian anymore.
Where are they coming
Germany's
from?
Germany's come good.
Dusseldorf.
Oh.
Bavaria.
Dusseldorf sounds.
Hamburg. I know you're a Berlin man.
I'm a Berlin man.
Stand by.
I'm way back.
Shouldn't we stand by?
Stand by. Coming up, Dr. Chris Brown.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
Sure is, everybody. Don't miss a minute. We're going to get to the demise of the Tarago. Sad
passing.
That's
very sad to hear.
Been moving people since 83. The
well,
original, I believe.
Got to be no more.
All right.
Very
we'll do that.
We've quite a few things to get through.
We're going to talk about backpacking. Australians have a bad reputation overseas for backpacking. It could be your fault.
well, it's cheery. We're a cheery bunch when we travel.
You represent your country overseas, you grungy, stinky lot.
That's very fine coming from you, Mick. How do you go when you travel?
Backpacking is.
I told you, I've been in backpackers before.
It's when you
many years ago.
You tried to tell me you were camping the other day. You imagine
that is rubbish. I told you, I'm a very sophisticated and intriguing woman.
We'll take your calls.
What's wrong with that?
We'll take your tweets. We'll get to so much more. But let's start the hour with this bloke.
Is Dr. Chris Brown actually the Dr. Feelgood of the animal world? First, he was examining emus.
All their down below parts are tucked up above. You can't see them.
It's not large, I'm guessing. You'd never hear the phrase hung like an emu.
And then this love doctor was playing matchmaker to the Adelaide Zoo pandas.
I was trying to get them to speak the language of love.
This is sounding bizarre.
This has got freeway written all over it.
Trust me, it is bizarre. The female is only receptive for 36 hours a year.
That's right.
I mean, you try that on Jane Kennedy.
Please welcome back our expert on fauna, and it seems fornication, Dr. Chris Brown.
Struggle to get it out to 36 hours.
Chris, that's not the introduction I thought you were going to get, were you?
This is a new avenue I am looking to pursue with interest.
Well, we spoke to you a couple of days ago, Chris, about the aforementioned emu, and you fill us in as to what you were doing looking after that emu and rummaging around in the sexual organs. What happened?
Look, I was trying to keep the details between me and the emu for privacy, patient doctor confidentiality reasons. But look, we'll throw it out the window.
Okay.
I was called in, Dr. Phil style, not Dr. Phil, good Dr. Phil style, with a bit more hair, to see an emu who had wandered in from the bush. And this emu had taken up residence in in the backyard of a homestead out in the bush, central Queensland, and had started to sort of display some strange behaviour, walking around in circles, twisting its neck, falling over.
Okay.
And they were concerned about the health of the emu. So I came in to assess the patient's well-being. And very quickly, I started to come to the conclusion that this emu was actually perfectly healthy medically, but not perfectly healthy emotionally. The emu had come in from the bush and had actually paired up and fallen in love with the male farmer and was going through an extensive courtship ritual.
It was a courtship ritual.
Wow. Really?
Oh, yeah. And it had been, I mean.
Is there evidence of this in the past? Is there a precedent for this, Chris?
Not as far as I know.
Wow.
This is like a National Geographic breaking story.
Yeah. Can I ask, was the farmer a hottie? was he?
In a rugged sort of a way, yeah.
In a farmer wants a wife kind of way.
But he was tall, and I think that was what the emu was.
What did the emu do when he saw you, God's sake?
It was competition, let me tell you.
It's dumped the farmer. He's got 12
It's like married at first sight. Good God.
What a revelation. I came back from the country with baggage.
That's an interesting story, and I'm interested to hear that animals have rituals when
I love
courtship.
That
there are many types. For example, the baboon. Now, the bright red bot. Is that related to the courtship? Is that the female trying to attract a mate?
Asking for a friend, Mickey?
Do you know what I'd like? I wish women in our world gave away signals like that.
Do you?
Like if I'm at a bar and I'm looking down the road and all of a sudden some girl's bot's bright red, I go, oh, hello, I'm half a chance here.
I know, you've actually said before, I think, to me, it'd be really good if girls were like dogs and they would just wag their tail when they saw you.
If women had a tail that wagged, How much time would that cut out? You approach a woman and it either drops down, a little low.
Because we know we know what the signal is when you like us.
Well, not now I've got my Pornhub.
The alternative is conversation, Mickey. Like you'd actually have conversation.
Please.
And work it out that way. But look, you're right. Like there are some pretty extravagant mating rituals. A lot of, I mean, in the bird world, it's full of it.
It's showing off, basically, isn't it? And is it usually the male? Who's usually in charge of the courtship ritual?
Well, usually it is often the male. In the emu world, it's the female. But it's often shared around. But the majority of it is the male who, you know, will do an extravagant dance. Again, just like you, Mickey, sort of, you know, when required.
I get up there and do the nut bush.
You do.
That's why. If you ever see me out doing the nut bush, you know I'm on.
Okay.
You know, Mickey's open for business. Hey, can you hang around, Chris? We've got so much more. And we've got a very big ethical question to ask you, and our audience may want to get involved, but we'll get to that after this.
Dr. Chris Brown, by the way, see him on The Living Room Fridays at 7:30
love the
on
living
10.
Room.
Yeah.
Excellent. Top shelf.
More after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dr. Chris Brown joins us as well. Kennedy Malloy.
Chris, we're going from emus to, well, a very interesting and emotional story that has come from the US, and I'll just talk you through it now, all right?
Yep.
Emma, a healthy Shih Tzu mix, was euthanized to fulfill her late owner's dying wish that the dog be put down and then laid to rest with her. Mm. The dog was perfectly healthy, but the owner said, when I die, I want the dog to be buried with me, or at least cremated with me. Now, this is quite unethical, and it's caused quite a stir with a lot of people that are saying
it's a perfectly healthy dog that's being asked to be put down with its owner. Now,
that's
did this happen or not?
Yes, this did happen.
Wow.
In Chesterfield, Virginia, the shelter, there was people got wind of it and they said, no, we are very happy to rehome this dog. There's plenty of people who want this dog and we could look after it. And the family insisted and said, no, has to be kapowed down.
Mm.
What say you, Dr.
And
Chris Brown?
Any experience with this?
I not exactly this situation. I mean, it's obviously appalling. You have pets because they're a part of the family, because you love them and you love them unconditionally. To then turn around and be so selfish as to decide that your wish is that they join you in death is quite bizarre and you know, obviously appalling. The challenge you face as a vet is that when people come in, it's only happened once to me where someone's come in with a healthy dog and tried to have it put down. Now,
I explained myself. I did say that. Now, sorry, no, this is obviously serious.
Oh, no.
And what was the reasoning?
So basically, they just didn't have the time nor the money and had essentially lost interest. Now,
I'm over this.
I mean, it's hard not to absolutely strips off them right there and then. But the rule, this is actually written into regulations. You can refuse, and obviously I did refuse, to actually put that dog down. The one thing you can offer to rehome it, you can offer to give it another life.
Yeah.
The one thing you have to do is say that they can go to another vet. That's the regulation.
Wow.
And they can take the dog and
until
and go,
they find
and,
one.
Until potentially they find one. And you may find one who is, you know, potentially older school or doesn't necessarily have that.
Or felt bullied or pressured to do it.
And it is lawful for a vet to put down a perfectly healthy animal.
If instructed by...
Exactly, and if they insist, and if you are willing to do that, but I reckon in this day and age, and in Australia we know and love, I cannot see that vets are going to be comfortable doing that.
What about twin 6.5-year-old boys? What's the ruling?
No. Chris, there's one aspect to this story that I did want to counterpose and say, I can't stand those terrible, terrible images of pets who've lost owners sitting on a railway station mourning and grieving for the rest of their lives when their owners have died. So is this not a better way that the animal doesn't suffer the trauma of, their own.
What are you saying?
No, I'm saying, saying that there are animals, you know, they go and sit on the graves of their owners and they just have a miserable rest of their own lives.
But when you're, you know, and this obviously, let's hope this doesn't happen, but when your husband departs,
I'll be fine. It's when the dog dies, I'll be terrible.
I'm not going to run you down to a local vet hospital and end it all for you, Jane, just because you might go through some emotional hardship. I'll tell you what I reckon. I'm okay with this, provided it goes both ways. You know, if you have a dog.
It's a pact.
Yeah, it's a pact. Right. You're in it together.
If the dog's sick, then you go down with the dog too.
You go down, fronting. And I reckon for this woman who decided this was her rule, she should have had a pact.
Yes.
And she should have been made to own a goldfish. And then 3 months later, she gets flushed as well.
Okay, here's one for you. Say I've got a pet and I'm about to die. Mm. I don't want to kill the dog, but can I make it wear a bucket for the rest of its life?
For comedic value.
Like a mourning bucket, like a black...
You cannot. Like a, don't be ridiculous.
Like a black, hey, what type of dog was it?
Shih Tzu.
Yeah. Oh. Do you know what a Shih Tzu is?
What's a Shih Tzu?
Doc, a Shih Tzu? At the zoo imagine. Without any animals. Oh, baby, Mickey.
That was a courteous giggle on the part of Kennedy. I feel
that was a perfect execution of the Shih Tzu.
I didn't even think it was audible. My giggle. Have we got time for one more quick question?
Yes, I reckon.
In Sydney. In the posh suburbs, there's rats. And in fact, I saw a picture the other day. It was in Surry Hills or somewhere. There was a, or Potts Point. There was a rat on the footpath and people took a photo of it like it was a pet destroyed down the street. Why is there rats currently in Sydney? Yeah. What's going on?
This epicentre of it all is Potts Point, which is basically King's Cross. Mm. And there are rats in the streets. I blame the lockout laws. They've got no idea. That's what's happening. But have you seen that the images of these rats? They are massive.
Oh, no.
They're big.
They look like possums.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the challenge. I've seen plenty of evidence that where you get cats that are normally meant to attack rats and reduce the population, they're scared of them. They walk up and
running.
Go, no, I'm not touching. That thing's actually would outweigh me. It would have been a different weight division. So they leave them alone. But also we're not generally putting out as many rat traps or rat baits because of the risk to pets nowadays. They obviously need to do something to limit the population. You know what the best thing to remove rats or get rid of rats from your own house?
What?
Snake wee.
Oh.
So, oh, Chris, how am I going to get snake wee?
Well, you can. You've got contacts.
You've released 5 cookbooks. I mean, surely you know how to.
First of all, I'm not a snake person.
You do a national radio station. There are people who are trafficking snake wee out there.
Give me half a litre of brown snake. I'd like a quarter of python.
Well, I like the inference that, I can get my hands on some.
It's not a cocktail for everyone, but the thing about the snake wee is rats and mice are naturally scared of the scent of snakes and will actually leave a house. So I know people who have had rat and mice infestations who have put snake wee or snake scent around the house, and the rats and mice clear out. They are gone. So,
hey, forget your fox terrier.
So snake wee, or if you can't get that, some West End beer would probably do it. Hey, what are you working on at the moment, mate? What can we mention? Obviously the living room up and running.
That's
and
right,
going
on tomorrow
great
night.
Guns.
Yep.
Yeah, that's sort of I'm sort of between living room and back in the vet clinic and just doing my thing. So between those two, it's keeping me busy enough.
Can I ask where you're living?
I'm living just a short hot hop skip and swig of snake wee away from Bondi.
Oh, I'll allow it.
You know all we love having you on the
good
show,
on you,
Dr. Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Pleasure, guys.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is very sad news here, Jane.
What you got there?
It's the demise of the Turaga.
Oh, don't
say
it.
Can you believe this? After 36 years on the road, Australia's favourite, or was it the original? Do you think people move it?
I think it was the original.
I think it was the first one. It takes me back to some fond memories because whenever you did a regional tour,
yes,
with a bunch of comedians in this country, you all had to pile into a Turaga.
The Turaga with the sliding door.
The sliding door, and off you'd go on an almighty adventure. One that sticks out for me, how we were doing shows in Bathurst, Armidale, regional New South Wales, and we were driving to those gigs, and we hit a kangaroo, which totaled. We had to spend a night in a little place called Tambour Springs.
Oh, yes. It sounds like a sitcom you're about
to say. A little Wolf Creeky for my liking, but, okay. You know, not bad.
Because there's no bull bar on the front of your Tarago, is there?
Well, there's none. And at that stage, I think we were probably a bunch of city kids travelling in the country, and we were told when we were filling up a petrol, you guys aren't driving now, are you? We go, yeah, okay, it's dusk.
Yeah.
I said, what? They said, there's a fair chance you'll hit a kangaroo. We go, don't backchat me, mate.
Right.
I know how to drive a Tarago. And Darren Casey, a comedian, was driving at the time. Anyway, I'll never forget this because I was sitting in the front and we're driving along and fair enough, we are kangaroos are coming.
It's peak hour for them.
It's like a video game where you're just trying to avoid kangaroos. It is peak hour. They're all trying to get home. Anyway, eventually it happened. And I've never seen anything like it. If you've ever been in a car accident where you get hit by a kangaroo, it was like slow motion and this massive red came out and it was just about to hit. And I always remember this because just as it was about to impact on the windscreen, Darren Casey possibly saved our lives by thinking quickly and flicking the windscreen wipers on. as if it would just scoop up the roux and
like
flip
it
over
bug.
The side. But I remember the Tarago got us through what was a very, very...
Well, it is, you know, for Toyota and their brand. It's been around, you know, they've been around since the early 80s. I think it was the first
people mover. Yeah, so I can't recall one.
You're right. And I think every time I think of a Tarago, I think of holidays. Yeah. I think of airports.
Mm-hmm. I think of bands performing. They do the touring bands. Put your drums and your guitars. They all pile in the
Well, everyone could try to convince me. To get a Tarago once I started having lots of
kids. Is
that
big enough for you?
Well, I don't think I could even fit them all into a Tarago.
And why didn't you get one?
Look, I'll tell you why. Because for me, once you get a Tarago, they're not the sexiest car. Mind you, five baby car seats is not really a good hot image, is it?
But, I haven't seen a Tarago in a road movie as yet.
But, you know, they're changing it. So they're going to have a new people mover.
What is it?
The Granvia.
Oh, you can stick your Granvia up your ass.
It's pitched as a luxury 8-seater wagon. But I could go that. And that one looks a bit more entourage-y, you know, that TV show. Oh, I could see that.
Hey, you're getting up towards the Partridge Family bus.
Oh.
Hey, now, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Oh, maybe a zooped up Winnebago.
Yes.
Something with the lot.
Yeah. A Winnebago?
Oh, yeah.
You in the family?
A Winnebago.
Mm. All right.
That'd be cool. Well, anyway, goodbye to the Tarago. We'll miss
Valet,
you.
Valet, Tarago.
It is the end of an era.
You have served us well.
You have indeed. Good mileage too, that tank.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Obviously, Jane, you would have never have done this, but there's a little something called backpacking.
I beg your pardon.
Come on, Jane.
I have.
Top end, first class.
I tell you what.
Chairman's Lounge at Qantas Club, straight to Paris.
I was a young girl and I'd been working and saving up for money and it was a big deal to have that airline ticket. You'd go overseas and you'd stay for years.
Where'd you backpack?
I backpacked through...
the wine-growing region of France.
I've backpacked in Europe. I did. Florence, I might have had a little backpack.
Did you take the whole family backpacking one year?
Well, yes. Well, they didn't... We went backpacking. Yes, Wendy took a day pack, in fact, with us. We went away for, you know, nearly a year. And we took them all out of school. And we were budgeting. Because you're away for a whole year, I had to budget. So
That's bad parenting.
We ended up in Greece in Santorini.
Oh, wow.
And I was sort of searching for accommodation that would take a big group of us. Anyway, we ended up at a backpackers.
Well, there you go.
And they weren't happy to have a mum and dad and five kids.
Killing the buzz. killing the buzz.
We hit the pool and all of a sudden everyone's like, get away from it.
I didn't come here for this.
That's right.
Well, there's a new survey out that says there's Aussie backpackers are a bit annoying overseas to most people in other nations.
They've got particular habits.
Like a reputation.
There is a reputation. Yeah. They've listed 17 Aussie backpacker habits that annoy people in other countries. Do you want me to list a couple?
I'd like to hear a few.
Well, there's too many of us. We have no idea how to drink in moderation. I think that's true to all nations.
That's true as us.
We refuse to go home.
Yes.
Whether it's a nightclub or the European continent, we overstay our welcome. I think that's fair. What backpackers do.
Yeah, that's right.
That's their job. That's not exclusive to any nation. We had a call on the show, didn't we?
Yeah,
who's the guy? Was it Chris? Yeah. He'll tell you about a backpacker and their resilience.
My wife and I were moving to England for work, and we had a couple of weeks stopover in Thailand. went to a bar and met an Irishman, and sort of said, yes. If you're ever over in England, we're going to be in such and such a town, come and look us up. And about 6 months later, he did. Oh. And stayed for about 2 weeks and drank all of our beer and wasn't a real good house guest. But the next year, we shifted to a different town in England.
Yeah.
He lobbed up to, and checked on... checked around with our next door, our old next door neighbours, and found our address.
In your address,
turned up again.
That's good backpacking, that is.
That's backpacking that's 101.
Can I tell you, a friend of mine, yeah. Richie, yeah. Good mate, he used to own and run Operator Backpackers.
Wow.
And he told me so many great stories. Yeah. It's just hilarious. But one that sticks out is there was a couple of two different European continents or something overseas. Mm. They met in his backpackers. They got rolling drunk. Anyway, they went upstairs to make hot backpacker love. They were declaring how much they loved each other and how special they were together. And he reckons, according to other people in the room at the time, to make love, they stripped off all their clothes but kept their money belts on.
Well, you never know. You don't want that stolen.
No, so.
Oh, that's funny.
That would be annoying.
One of the other ones I love, they always get you to try Vegemite. That's Australian.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Oh, try the Vegemite. People don't like it, don't worry. And I also like the Australians got a warped sense of distance. So it means they make you walk everywhere. That is very Australian. Yeah.
And complain about how shit other people's coffee is.
Yes.
Well, we do that a lot. Okay, backpackers, remember, you're representing your country. Behave.
Do us well. Nothing do us proud.
And we're so kind to your backpackers when they're out here.
We are.
Obviously, we murder the odd one. But beyond that, it's all pretty friendly.
Yeah. Forgive and forget.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to the HSV Chevrolet Silverado.
I'm getting a bit teary. I believe this may be our second last day of working with, talking about, taking home the brochure, reading it in bed.
Maybe we can take that with us.
Pitching a tent in my doona.
Hey, okay.
I read this like adult literature, my HSV Chevrolet Silverado.
I can just see you lying in bed with the brochure tucked up under your little chin.
Shut up, Joe. Fat shaming me. Hey, and what we can do after that is maybe just head down to the showroom.
And just stare at it. Camp out.
For a perv.
We could. Yeah. We could just lovingly look upon. Because.
Hi, Mick. Are you here again? Yeah, I am. Mm. I'm just having a hard time weaning myself off the elegant good looks, the sturdy big bone frame of the greatest utility vehicle I have ever seen.
I'll never forget looking through this brochure and this booklet with all these beautiful colours of these vehicles. I know it's a cheap thing to say, but I can't help it.
You've gone straight to the centrefold.
I have gone to the centrefold.
It's a double page spread.
Oh, look at that. You know why, too?
Why?
The centrefold happens to be the very luxurious interior.
And you went nuts when we saw it. You couldn't.
I just couldn't wait to jump in.
You want to jump in. The smell was driving
new car
you
smell
mad.
For a start.
And
but the cabin's so huge, I could have all my girlfriends
you
in there.
You did need a boost.
I have to
say, this is a big beast.
And you were very good. You lay down on the ground for me and I stepped on your back so I could get up.
I did upskirt you. But it's
that's
all
okay.
Part
we're
of
the friends. What's one upskirting between mates?
It's all part of the process. But you and me later this year, can I make a suggestion? We're going to the Logies.
Yeah.
Can we do the red carpet?
This is perfect.
Can we turn
up? Arrive in one of these.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, look.
You watch everyone else lose it.
Grant Denyer will go nuts.
Grant Denyer.
He'll blow his mind.
We'd have to shoot him. We'd have to shoot him out of a cannon into the cabin of the Chevrolet. He'll lose his tiny mind.
He will lose his mind.
Who else will be there? They'll be sitting there in their stretch limos. And their Uber blacks.
And then look out.
Hello.
Beep, beep.
It's more like a...
So tomorrow...
Yes.
We bid you farewell. One more sleep.
Okay. If I can get to sleep having taken a brush in a bed. Well done, Silverado. Well done, Chevrolet. Well done, HSV. You are the giants of the road. You're the king. You are the behemoth.
And we love you.
We love you.
HSV.com.au to find your local dealer. Thanks, HSV.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Just about done for the day. What a great show today, by the way.
It is a good show.
I liked it.
Thank
what was your favourite bit?
Dr. Chris. He's always my favourite.
You always like
I do. I think he's fantastic.
See, if I had have said that, there'd be no. No,
Dr. Chris,
Jane. Oh, you love Dr. Chris. You and Dr. Aren't we over that? Can't I just not be have a platonic friendship with a dear friend? As Dr. Chris and I have this special friendship.
Like you're in love.
Nah. You do change your demeanour.
I don't change
you've been
my
bit,
demeanour.
A bit lighter and foot around the station. It's not skipping, but you're very, Dr. Chris is in today.
It's like you're floating.
I'm actually taking that as a compliment. You use the word lighter with me. That doesn't get bandied about.
I haven't seen this kind of happiness and sunny disposition since Kevin Peterson.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Oh, KP. Well, forgot about
good
that.
Good for you. Yeah. Aren't you clever tonight?
Hey, the front bar is back on the TV
tonight.
I hope
he's got some of that shtick going on.
Is it happening?
8:30 on 7. Who's New South on? Wales, Queensland, check your local guides. You've got, you've got Michael Long on the show tonight. What a legend.
They're celebrating Indigenous Round, the Sir Douglas Nicholls Round. We've got him on. We've got Santo on.
Oh, fantastic.
That'll be a great show. Have you got tickets?
We do.
Give away some?
Give us a call right now.
1-333-353.
Some tickets. And then I've got to get home and watch the fourth episode
of
the first series of Game of Thrones.
With this,
oh, wow. It's so exciting at the moment.
I know we caught up with the third episode today.
Mm. It's unbelievable, you know, to think that this is all going on in the Dothraki Sea. It really is.
I just can't even cope with you saying
And the wall. How big's the wall? I had no idea. That thing's huge.
Oh, my God.
How long's that been going on?
There's people who get you know what happens when you
Dave,
go on the
you
wall.
There was a giant.
I know. I haven't seen it. So tell me more about it. So a big wall.
Tell us more about it. What happens when you're on a wall?
Don't,
if you're a night watchman, what aren't you allowed to do?
You're not allowed to have sex.
Correct.
Oh, jeez.
Good guess.
Especially with a relative. Is that?
You're just gonna. You know what the funny thing is?
You've been abandoned, or you are slipped through life's cracks. All right, and you all go there as a motley band of.
In fact, I can see you ending up on the wall.
Why do you have to turn it into something mean? Really? Anyway, spoiler alert for anyone. Don't talk to me. You know what happens in the fourth episode of the first series. Don't give it away.
In the meantime, catch up on the front bar tonight on Channel 7, everyone.
Kitty Flanagan is going to join us tomorrow for a Friday Kennedy Morning.
Now you're done catching up on Kennedy Malloy. Check out the Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big.